Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
What say you, Madam Foreperson? Is the defendant not guilty, guilty of murder in the first degree, or guilty of murder in the second degree?
Guilty of murder in the first degree.
That, of course, was the dramatic conclusion yesterday in the murder trial of former New England Patriot Aaron Hernandez, guilty on all counts for the murder of Odin Lloyd. Hernandez now faces life in prison without parole.
Despite a past that was checkered with drugs, bar fights, and suspensions, in 2012, the New England Patriots gave Hernandez a $40 million contract. That same year, his daughter was born, and Hernandez talked like a man who was turning things around.
Another one's looking up to me. I can't just be young and reckless Aaron no more. So I'm gonna try to do the right things, become a good father, and be raised like I was raised.
Hernandez claimed he'd been nurtured by the Patriot way. But yesterday's verdict raises anew troubling questions for the NFL about violence on and off the field, including domestic violence and now murder by its players. So what does this mean for the Patriots now? What does it say about the Patriots way and the NFL? With us is Dan Lebowitz. He's executive director at Northeastern's Center for Study of Sports and Society. He's a frequent guest on Radio Boston. We're glad to welcome him back. Dan Lebowitz, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Bill Littlefield, host of WBUR's Only Game. And Bill, as always, a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Anthony.
And listeners, we want to invite you into this conversation about the Aaron Hernandez guilty verdict, how the NFL handles players like Hernandez. What do you make of this? What's the meaning, the significance beyond the terrible story about the murder of Odin Lloyd? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Dan, I'd like to start with you because, you know, this, among other things, is sort of a stunning story of a fall from the very height of the American dream. What do you make of this story? What's the takeaway for you?
Well, I think that a lot of times in society we tend to look at the fall, but we don't look at what was built up before the fall. And so, you know, the questions that I have are questions around the larger societal questions. You know, what were Aaron Hernandez's acute childhood experiences? What were the layers of trauma that might have existed in his life? What were the things that led up to it? So whether we're talking about the Ray Rice incident or the Aaron Hernandez incident or Adrian Peterson incident, you know, in many respects, it's a much larger question about society in general. Mm. And so for me, you know, I want to ask the question, what made Aaron Hernandez think that Olin Lloyd or the other, you know, Daniel Abreu or Saffiro Furtado, if in fact he gets convicted of those murders, made him think that they were inanimate objects in some respects, and what caused the incredible power dynamic and outgrowth that came of it.
Big questions, troubling questions. I want to sort of direct listeners to this piece, by the way, on the front page of the New York Times, which is sort of one of the pieces that got me thinking about this whole question. It's by Bill Pennington. Aaron Hernandez shed tackles, but not his past. And Bill, well, you know, one of the things that comes out of that piece is there were so many red flags, fights, drugs, suspensions that it seems like people chose not to pay attention to. And by people, I'm talking about people in the NFL, people in the New England Patriots. What do you think of that?
My understanding is a lot of people in the NFL did pay attention because Aaron Hernandez was initially projected to go very high in the NFL draft, and when other teams began to understand some of the history that you're talking about, he dropped way down. Hmm. The Patriots got him much lower in the draft than most people initially thought he would go.
In the fourth round instead
of exactly,
the first
instead
round.
Of one of the first couple of rounds. I think that has something to do with it. But, you know, a lot of people have tough circumstances, and they don't necessarily end up murdering somebody. A lot of people grow up with all sorts of difficulties, and I think that there's a lot of cultural influences that come into this, and the violence endemic to football may be part of that as well, as people have talked about in relation to some of these other cases. But basically, this is a guy who, well, you know, I think Dan put it very well. He apparently regarded other people as deserving to die for real or imagined insults.
But I guess my question, I'll come back to you, Dan, about this, is it's not like his history was a secret. So to what extent do football teams have to take responsibility for signing a guy like this? 9 days after his arrest, Patriots owner Robert Kraft told reporters that if Hernandez was guilty, then our whole organization has been duped. But was it duped, or was it, you know, not completely, I don't know, was it deliberately blind to what was going on?
I wouldn't call it deliberately blind. I mean, there's no doubt that there were incidents. He was arrested as a 17-year-old at Florida. He was arrested or questioned a year later relative to a shooting in Florida. And he had a few failed tests in college. And yet, you know, he goes to college at 17. And so, you know, we live in a society that in many respects allows a redemption platform. You know, most young men that might be involved in issues when they're younger, their frontal lobe starts to develop, and we start to believe that, you know, do we want to be a society that's punitive, or do we want to be a society that allows for redemption? So, you know, when I look at the NFL, I don't want to put them in some kind of compartmentalist framework that's different than how we hold the rest of a society accountable for the things that we try to do to maintain a sense of humanity. The fact that out of this came something that was incredibly inhuman is more probably specific to Aaron Hernandez than it is to the NFL.
Mm. Bill, do you see this as, I don't know, sort of hermetically sealed? I don't want to say that Dan was saying it's hermetically sealed, but is it? You've been on this show a few times and expressed criticism of the NFL, for example, and the way they respond to on-field injuries to players, particularly brain injuries. Do you see a line that connects the Aaron Hernandez story with that in any way?
Well, I don't think you see a direct connection between the NFL's irresponsibility and hypocrisy and, in many cases, outright dishonesty about the concussion issue. That's been thoroughly documented. I think this is something very different. I think we're talking about the willingness of this culture, and I'm not just talking about the NFL, I'm also talking about colleges, to suspend any kind of feeling that somebody should be responsible for what they do as long as they're big and strong and can either put the ball in the basket or run it through the line. These guys do get all kinds of opportunities based on what they can do physically, and they get rewarded with enormous contracts, and that is something that our culture has decided is appropriate, that some of them turn out to carry the violence for which they are rewarded off the field, that they carry off the field the attitudes that they have been rewarded for, attitudes that have been reinforced as they've grown up in their cultures, off the field, beyond the field, is a terrible consequence.
Listeners, we're talking about the fallout, the aftermath, the day after of the conviction of Aaron Hernandez. Bill Littlefield is with us, as well as Dan Lebowitz, Executive Director, Center for Study in Sport and Society at Northeastern University. If you'd like to join this conversation, give us a call, 800-423-8255. Dan, you were nodding your head to something that Bill was saying there about carrying this violence into society. What did you make of that?
Well, I think that, you know, we allow for a construct of hypermasculinity, and it's outgrowth well beyond the playing field. We allow for that. You know, we celebrate the violence when it happens on the field, and we call that consensual. And we tend to often say as a society that we don't like violence, but we tend to sort of celebrate it and exacerbate it off the field as well. And so whether it's from homicide or sexual assault or domestic violence or child abuse, I think that as a society, we need to be a little bit more respectful about our own tacit approval, our own responsibility, and our own and introspective enough to sort of change that construct of manhood and start at a much younger age.
Hmm. Is this connected to the idea? I mean, you know, a lot has been said, and we often talk about sort of the violence on the field and how that carries off the field. But the fact is, and I think you're getting at this, Dan, is we like to watch. I mean, to what extent are all of us who watch, root for, buy tickets for, report on, partially responsible for the fact that someone like Aaron Hernandez can get a $40 million contract from a football team?
again, I think that we get intoxicated by it. I think that, you know, when you talk about the NFL, they have a ubiquitous platform. You know, they and so there's a responsibility from society's point of view to not give tacit approval to the violence off the field or to be glamorizing violence off the field. And yet there's probably a social responsibility for the NFL to embrace a leadership platform itself around what a positive coaching models look like. What does positive youth development look like? And given that the development minds of youth are so open when they're younger, why aren't we working more about trying to create skill sets and toolkits for kids to deal with conflict resolution? That would be seem to be a good way for the NFL to brand or to make a statement, to brand and make a statement, really, about in reaction to the things that have happened during the year.
Sure. Bill, what would you like to see the NFL to do, to respond to the things that have happened in this year?
It's a lovely idea to think that the NFL would be involved in this sort of project, but the NFL is a gigantic and profitable corporate business. It's in partnership with some of the largest corporations in this country. Their business is to make money, and they provide entertainment, and the entertainment is making a great deal of money. And I don't think that's going to change as long as that's their primary goal, which, of course, in a capitalist state, it's bound to be. I don't really think we can see them telling kids to, take up the violin instead of, learn how to run the 40 a little faster.
We've got some callers who want to get on this conversation. I want to make sure we give time to get at least a couple of them in. Let's go to Pat, who's calling from Newton. Pat, you're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I grew up as a young girl and a young woman loving football. It was a bonding thing with my dad. And most recently, I have stopped watching football because I have been very distraught by the way things have been handled on the field in regards to head injuries. And although the players get a lot, your body and your health is of great import, and domestic violence, and most recently, obviously, what you're talking about today, Aaron Hernandez being a murderer. Mm-hmm. I have talked to my son about this. I did allow him to play football as a youth, but my mind has changed about watching the game. Most recently, and I just want to, today what you're talking about is what I've been talking to my son about.
Pat, I really appreciate the call, and I want to put that on the table and also move on and trying to get one or two other comments on, but thanks for the call. Let's go to Chris, who's calling from Plymouth. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi. I think that one thing that's important to remember is that these players are employees of the team and of the NFL, and, most employers will nowadays at least run background checks, and that can be a major decision in terms of hiring and moving forward with essentially a job candidacy. And as far as I know, the NFL and the scouts will do sort of their research, but there's the background check aspect of it doesn't really weigh into the consideration when you're talking about how many millions of dollars the guy can make for you catching touchdowns.
Got it, Chris. Yeah.
I'll take it up here.
Thank you so much for that comment. Dan Lebowitz, respond to Chris. NFL could do perhaps more in looking into the background checks of these guys or taking into consideration more.
I think that that's a good point. I think that going back to Bill's point, though, that, they are an economic engine, much like the NCAA is an economic engine. And so, when you're thinking about sport on any level, we could be talking about John Calipari in a non-murderous situation where he brought violations to two different schools and now is being considered to be nominated into the Basketball Hall of Fame. So, we do allow in our structure, success seems to trump everything else. And so, that's the question is the economic engine that is the NFL and the economic engine that is the NCAA isn't much different than a corporation that's willing to pay back multi-millions of dollars for defrauding individuals on some kind of level.
And they pay it back in order to be able to continue to do business as usual.
Well, great thoughts on an important subject. Bill Littlefield, host of WBUR's Only Game, thank you for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony.
And Dan Lebowitz, executive director of Northeastern Center for Study of Sport and Society. Always a pleasure to have you, Dan. Thank you very much. Stay with us. Coming up, we'll talk tech and Google's European antitrust woes with Hiawatha Bray. Stick with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.